great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, the podcast. Hi, I'm Don McDonald, and we're doing something new today. You know, we get together on Saturday and do the show that we turn into a podcast, but what we're going to try is doing the In the Middle of the Week podcast together. Let us know what you think. Do you like them better this way? Do you like them less well? We're going to try one and see how it goes. So, remember, you can call us anytime with your questions at 855-935-TALK. You can also send them in at talkingrealmoney.com using the contact form. And then, of course, listen every single day to the podcast because we make lots of these and we make them just for you so you make better financial decisions. I mean, all kinds of financial decisions, including decisions involving that thing you live in. Well, not always. Well, yeah, that thing you live in if you own it. We're talking about real estate and whether you should pay off your house or not. A lot of people think, well, I should get out of debt completely. There's one really popular talk show host who says, get out of all debt. So, Tom, should you pay off your mortgage?
Yeah, I mean, this seems like the $64,000 question right now. And it seems to me the decision is easier today financially than it's ever been. But the first thing, before you even start to do this, you might want to check to make sure that you can actually pay off the mortgage early without a penalty, without a prepayment penalty. I think that's pretty unusual in the business right now, don't you?
I can't remember the last time, and I've had a bunch of mortgages recently, as you well know. I can't remember the last time I saw one with a prepayment penalty. I just can't remember.
I think that would be a bit of a surprise. Okay, but that would be one. Number two, then this is really at the crux of the matter, I think, because think this through, and it's pretty easy to do the math. Let's assume that the money you're going to take to pay down your mortgage, instead you put it into an investment account and you make 7 or 8% a year, which I think you can. I don't use the, you would have made 10% a year in the S&P 500 for the last 90 years.
Or as Dave Ramsey's always saying, you would have made 12% per year. Mm. Yeah, right, yeah. Dave.
Check.
Oh, same guy
box.
Again. Oh, sorry.
I know.
Sorry,
check
Dave.
Box. So let's just say you could make the 7 or 8% a year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Versus a 30-year fixed mortgage today is how much?
Oh, 30-year fixed, about 2 3/4.
So you can compare those numbers. You can compare those numbers, and you can do the math pretty easily to see that it doesn't take a whole lot of time for you to end up with a pretty nice pot of money that's a lot bigger than paying down that mortgage. That one's pretty easy to me, which brings me to number three, Don, which is the thing that really most people don't start thinking about until they're within about 5 years of retirement. They should do it earlier, and that is liquidity. How are you going to pay the bills? If it's all tied up in that house, it makes it really harder to pay for the light bill in that house.
It can be hard to get the money out of your house, particularly in a soft market. As a matter of fact, it's funny we should be on this topic because I was listening to Stacking Benjamins earlier today, the podcast that I'm going to be on starting
yes.
in February.
Absolutely.
The other podcast I'm going to be on. And they do a feature that I just love. They do a bad TikTok money advice feature. Because if you want some of the worst money advice in the world, get it from TikTok. And they had a young man on there who's going, hey, if you like waking up every morning and scared to what your money's going to do, then put it in the stock market. But if you want to sleep well at night because your money, the value's not changing and you always make money, put it in real estate.
Oh, yeah, sure. That 2007, 2008, didn't it go down?
And well, you see,
some
but,
places
but,
it hasn't gotten back up to where it was.
But you see, he's in this mindset that cracks me up because there is, you when you're in the stock market, every morning you get up, you turn on the news, and they go, the Dow Jones 30 industrials are down, blank, 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 blank. You don't get up every morning and they go, your house is down $10,000 this morning.
Yeah, you imagine how much people would freak out if they could hear the, and you, but I guess you could. You could go to Zillow or Like every day to see the value and find out that it was a bad day yesterday in your neighborhood because your neighbor put the truck up on, anyway. You could,
oh, that's
you
my
could do
that's
that.
My neighborhood already.
I know.
I got a guy with a truck that he puts up on blocks.
So you got to run the numbers first to see about saving it, putting it away, investing it versus the percentage on your mortgage. And this is the part that I said is pretty easy today because rates are so very scandalously low. And by the way, if you've got a mortgage that's, I think, 3% or more, you ought to go check on refinancing. But then this brings me, and we talked about the liquidity. Mm-hmm. It also brings me to this idea that people also seem to forget about. And that is, are you going to stay in this home the rest of your life? Is this going to be your place? Now, for me, as Don already knows, yeah, I'm planning on staying here till they drag me out kicking and screaming. Don's already got four homes, so he breaks up the time between all these various places.
Two homes.
It feels like four to me. Well, don't you have another silver bullet or something?
That's not a house. That's a recreational vehicle.
Okay. But the point is, I have made, and my darling wife has too, we've decided we love it. We love living here. The whole thing, it works. So I'm okay, and we'll talk about my long-term strategy of staying in the home. That's something that you need to really think about before you start wanting to overpay. And here's another part. If you really are going to start overpaying, make sure you've paid off, of course, high interest rate credit card debt, because I still see people carrying that around, that you have an emergency fund. We found out, right, in the pandemic, a lot of people didn't have money set aside, and you're maxing out. Had somebody tell me the other day, yeah, I'm putting $26,000 in when you consider the match from my employer. $26,000 come out of your pocket. The employer part would be in addition to that if you're over 50. So you got to make sure you're doing those things, I think, Don, first before you even consider start paying this down.
Yeah, it's not a financial decision, really, because it's not a good financial decision. You want your financial decisions to actually make you money. It is a lifestyle decision whether or not you pay off a mortgage.
I think you're exactly right there. So remember, before doing any of this, run the numbers, see if it really does work. I think you're going to find out it doesn't. Make sure you're going to have plenty of liquidity in retirement. Make sure you're going to have, this is a place you're going to stay. And I'll give you my example, because I've already talked about this. I'm planning on working 6-7 years, something like that, maybe longer, somewhere around that. And by that time, and I will have paid a little bit extra, my mortgage will be down at a very low level. I am planning, when I get close to retirement, to refinancing at a pretty low interest rate to a 30-year note. So I'll have a little bit of debt still left.
Market timer.
The payment will be less. You can see why a lot of people are already saying, no, Saturday is enough. We don't need any more than Saturday.
Hey, dude, think about this, though.
You're there.
Didn't you just say like 6 or 7 years from now?
I know. You're right, because interest rates could look a whole lot different at that point.
Like 22% mortgages then. Yeah. All right, I'm refinancing for sure. Let's look at that rate. That's good.
Be in real trouble. But that's my current thinking, that you do it. That's my personal plan. I'm never going to probably pay off this house. That's fine. I have a very small mortgage at the end at a low interest rate. Mm-hmm. I can afford that in a good way in retirement.
So you call it a plan, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, pipe dream plan. We'll start with a P. Hey, you know what, folks? We answer questions. We like doing that. You can call us at 855-935-TALK and leave your question on our little answering service, and we'll get that into a future podcast. Or you can go to talkingrealmoney.com and use the contact form and either type it in or speak it in. And Tom.
Yeah, hit it.
All right, the subject, income tax. Is there a way to reduce income tax? heard there are some municipal bonds that can.
Oh.
Do you have any experience with municipal bonds in reducing tax? Thanks.
Well, I do have experience with reducing tax, because there's a few years where I didn't make very much money. I didn't pay much tax.
That's a very effective means by which to do it.
You have to go back a few years to find that, but I didn't make much money. Well, okay, let's talk about that. And by the way, this is affecting very few of you listening, because, again, the gains you're getting from bonds, right, are the interest, and that's going to be – that's not going to affect your taxes very much. But let's just say you do want to save. Remember, the interest paid from municipal bonds – is tax-free. You do not pay any taxation. But here's the part to remember. Guess what? If you go look at the yield on an intermediate-term tax-free bond fund or an intermediate-term regular bond fund, the intermediate-term bond fund is going to pay probably 1% more or so in yield than the muni, because people have figured all this out. So yes, you could own municipal bonds. Again, we would suggest only municipal bond funds, because you own hundreds of securities. They're adjusted in terms of maturity, right? So you're getting some new ones, some old ones. And I would only use a product from maybe from a Vanguard that is very low cost, wide diversification, and safe. I mean, they're not running out buying a bridge
that
they're trying to build.
Safe.
Yeah, true. Good point. Something bad could happen, but less likely when you use somebody like Vanguard.
Okay, got another question for you, and then we're going to call it a podcast. Ready? Worthy.
Yes, sir.
Worthy bonds. Worthy bonds. It's another one. Just this name makes me crack up. But here we go. Just wondering, and I bet you haven't heard of these yet. Just wondering what you thought of worthy bonds. You ever heard of worthy bonds?
They issued by James Worthy of the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, not that worthy.
Okay.
No, I don't even know how worthy these
worthy of your
it's
money.
It's a great name. It is a great name.
It is a good name. Yeah.
Worthy, get this. Worthy is the only platform that allows you to invest as low as $10 and earn 5% interest without having to pay any fees. They use the bond proceeds primarily to make secured loans to growing American businesses. Quote, right now, Worthy Bonds is offering a whopping 5% on a minimum $10 investment. This avenue is relatively safe because each loan is asset-backed and secured by inventory. This means that even if the company defaults, you'll get the lion's share of your money back through liquidation. This is
let me see. I think what you do is you put the tongue right behind the two teeth at the top of your mouth and you say no.
It's interesting. I went to their website and I don't even know how they can legally do this stuff. I am really confused as to how they can do this because it says in their disclaimers, one, Worthy Bonds is headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida.
Of course.
Red flag number one. Worthy Financial is not an investment advisor. Apparently, the information on their website is for educational purposes only, even though they're asking for your money. It's not a bank, and these are not bank deposits, and they say you can get your money back at any time. But, well, if you need more than $50,000 back, it may take us up to 30 days to process that. So, yeah. This sounds really, 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 really serious. This is what I don't get. Are there some of you out there who really truly believe that there is a 5% safe return on your money? Seriously?
Yeah, that's a very silly point of view. There is no safe there's nothing over the 1% 10-year yield now that the U.S. government's paying. That's what I call safe. So I'm going to go ahead and say it from the movie of 25 years ago. We're not worthy.
I knew it. I knew a dad pun was lurking somewhere in the distance, and it sprang out and got me. All right, we're out of time because we're out of time. Whenever we decide we're out of time on the podcast, I'm Don. That's Tom over there. And we're always here talking about money, and we're going to be talking about money and retirement, Tom, coming up really soon.
Yeah, just a few weeks away.
Retire Meet America. It is a big honkin' free event with lots of great speakers on all kinds of topics from investing, income generation, Medicare, Social Security, and we got a double dose of keynote speakers.
Indeed, we do. Both the wonderful Paul Merriman, gifted, knowledgeable, fun to listen to with always great ideas. And then someone who is, wow, can't believe how long he's been around finance at a very high level. He's the chairman of Dimensional Funds, which I think is the seventh largest mutual fund complex in the world. David Booth, who's been at the helm of Dimensional since 1981, which, check my math, I think is 40 years. So he will have a wonderful address for all of us. So it's a terrific event. It's free, as you said.
Yep.
Don likes to point out you can watch it in your pajamas. I'm going to wear something nicer than that for mine. But
I'm wearing pajamas.
Please do register. You probably will. Maybe will. Comb your hair this time.
Yeah.
So join us. Go to Retire Meet to register. Please do.
At retiremeet.com.
You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, it's retiremeet.com. And by the way, just to make it easy for you, you can spell it either way, M-E-E-T or M-E-A-T. I don't care. Just go there. Sign up. Absolutely free. The only thing you have to do is make your own lunch. You can do it. I know you can. Thanks for listening. Please tell friends. Please, please, please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast service. And if you like what you hear, we love reading your reviews on Apple Podcasts. They're terrific. Thank you all very much. And we will talk to you again really soon on Talking Real Money.
That the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.